Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that the scriptures speak to us not only about the deep things of life and of you, but about the very mundane, practical realities of life. And so we pray, Father, that as we come to consider how we can glorify you with our money, that you might give us ears to hear your word, soft hearts to receive it with joy, and the will to do what it says. And we ask this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Well, as some of you may know, my parents are missionaries. They work for a mission called Global Recordings Network. And there's actually over 10,000 languages in the world. Global Recordings Network seeks to produce and distribute simple gospel messages for people in their own language, for people who wouldn't otherwise have a translation of the Bible or who can't read. And Mum and Dad have been doing this for over 40 years, and they've recorded in about 300-odd different languages. The money they live off comes directly from people supporting them financially. The hundreds of people who have supported them over the years may have never stepped foot off Australia, but they have been the means by which God has brought the good news of Jesus' life-giving death and resurrection to many thousands of people in hundreds of different languages. Rewind the clock 2,000 years. It's AD 62, and the Apostle Paul is in prison in Rome. He receives a special visitor, Epaphroditus, one of the leaders at the church in Philippi, has just arrived, and with him he's carrying a substantial gift from that church for Paul. And Paul actually wrote the church in Philippi a letter in response. We have it in our Bibles. It's the letter to the Philippian church. And in its opening words, we get a sense of Paul's deep affection for the Philippian Christians. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3 to 5, Paul says, "I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now." The source of Paul's joy, the thing that has filled him with thanks to God, is the Philippians' partnership in the gospel. Their partnership in the gospel. Now, that word translated partnership has connotations of sharing in a business partnership. And that's exactly, actually, the picture that Paul is going for. You see, Paul had planted the church in Philippi some 12 years earlier, and since then, the Christians in Philippi had been a silent but vital and generous partner in the grand task of promoting the gospel to the world. And we know that their partnership in the gospel refers to financial partnership, because Paul returns to this theme of partnership at the end of the letter, as we read, chapter 4, verse 15. "Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of your acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, not one church shared with me in the matter of giving and receiving, except you only. For even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid again and again when I was in need. Not that I'm looking for a gift, but I'm looking for what may be credited to your account. I've received full payment and even more. I'm amply supplied now that I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent. They're a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice pleasing to God. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Well, this week is the third in our series on a mission from God. And God has created us to live for the praise of his glory and called us as his people to invite others to join in worshipping him and glorifying him. And this is what is at the heart and the life of mission of the church and for us here at St. George's. In this series, we're looking at different ways in which we can contribute to the life and mission of the church. Last week we looked at prayer, and this week we're looking at being partners in the gospel. Just like the Philippians and Paul, just like those people who support my parents' work, we're looking at how we can contribute to the life and mission of St. George's through that very practical but vital thing of giving money. Now, before I start, let me say this is kind of a sermon for insiders, as it were. This is directed at people who are kind of regular members here, who you call St. George's your spiritual home. If you're visiting, welcome. We're delighted you could join us. And take this as a bit of a sort of, you're getting an insight into the mechanics, the internal workings of the church. And perhaps you'll also get a glimpse into how God works in this world in very practical areas like money. Anyway, giving can be a bit of a touchy subject. It's a bit private, perhaps. But the scriptures actually have an awful lot to say about it. Too much, of course, for one sermon. So today I'm hoping to do something, just kind of be very practical, just dipping our toes into what the scriptures have to say. And so in aid of that, if you open your newsletter, there's an insert. There's two inserts there. One's the financial report. That's for announcements. The other one is the smaller one. I'd like you to get this piece of paper out. It's entitled My Financial Commitment to the Life and Mission of St. George's. The guts of the sermon is going to be those five basic principles there on giving that you can see. And so that's what we're going to look at. And then we'll look at what we should give to and how much. And at the end, I'll invite you to take this sheet home to think and pray about it. And then in the end, to use it to make a commitment to partner financially with us at St. George's in the work of the gospel. So let's get into it. Five principles for giving. And the first three are actually about money in general. And the first is that it's all good. Our money is good. It's terrific. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 4, the apostle writes, "For everything God has created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving." Money is a good gift from God to be received, used, and enjoyed with thanksgiving. You might have heard that money is the root of all evils. Well, that's not true. The verse actually says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. And that's because money itself is not evil. In fact, it's good. It's a good gift from God. It's terrible as a master. God alone should be our master, but it's great as a servant. Money is a good gift from God. Point two, is all God's. Psalm 24 verse 1 says, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it." See, fundamentally, we don't own anything. God has created and sustains all things, and all things belong to him. He is the Lord of all. And so, first and foremost, our money, all that we own, all that we have, is God's. This point was actually impressed upon ancient Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses warned Israel that when they entered the promised land, and when they ate and drank and built fine houses and settled down, and when their herds and flocks had multiplied and grown large and they had silver and gold in abundance, Moses warned them that their hearts would become proud and that they might be tempted to say, "My power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me." But Moses continued, "Remember the Lord, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your forefathers as it is today." So first of all, money's a good, is good, it's terrific. Secondly, it's all God's. And thirdly, it's given to us to take care of in trust as stewards for the common good. 1 Peter chapter 4 verse 10 says, Each one of you should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. A God may own the cattle on 1,000 hills, but he's in the business of sharing his possessions with us. In Genesis 1, we learned that humanity has been made God's vice regents upon the earth. The creation is given to humanity in trust to take care of it, to tend it. And that includes our money. This is reflected in 1 Peter 4. All that we have is a gift from God given for the service of others. And let me say that again. All that we have, all that you and I own, is a gift from God given in trust for the service of others. Our wealth is a good gift from God, but first and foremost, it belongs to him and is held in trust by us as a gift to be used for the common good. Well, these are some general principles about money, but what do the scriptures have to teach us about how we can be partners in the gospel through our finances, how we can contribute to the life and mission of the church with our money? So points 4 and 5 are directed to this end. Point 4, the worker deserves his wages. That was the last sentence in our gospel reading. And Paul reflects this, the Apostle Paul reflects this in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, where he says, "The Lord has commanded that those who preach the gospel should receive their living from the gospel." If you've ever wondered about how John, our rector, and myself get paid, or where the money comes from for the church's power bills, our printing costs, all the different things that we do as a church, really the simple answer is through the money that you give to St. George's. It's why we have an offering or collection each week. There are, of course, many good other good places to which you can direct your money, and we'll touch base on those in a moment. But the simple equation is that all the good stuff that we do as a church comes directly from people giving financially. I should mention at this point that I have a set wage. It's not that if you guys give more, I get more money. No. I want to make it very clear that's not the case. But the more you give, the more that we can do. Let's just say I don't get more. Let's put that out there. Okay, I've cleared the air. Good. So the worker deserves his wages. Point 5, generosity. In 2 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul writes, "You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." See, the scriptures urge us to be generous in our giving, generous in our partnership in the gospel, generous in our care for the needy. The context for this quote is actually Paul's exhortation to the church in Corinth to be generous in their giving to supply the material needs of the starving church in Jerusalem. The scriptures urge us to be generous. But generosity, of course, isn't measured in absolute terms. Many of us know that story from the Gospels of the widow's mite, not her muscles, but those two little coins that she gave in the temple. And Jesus says that she's given far more than the kind of self-righteous religious leaders who pour in the bags of money because she gave out of her poverty. But for them, giving all that money was a small thing because they were so wealthy. See, it's not the dollar figure, but rather how much in relation to what we have. More on that in a moment. You've got those 5 points there. Our money is good. It's a good gift from God. It's all God's. It's given to us in trust for the service of the common good. The worker deserves his wages, and we're encouraged to be generous in our giving. But where should we give? Where should we direct our financial giving to? The teaching of the New Testament sets out 2 main areas to which we can direct our giving. Number one, to support the work of the gospel. And number two, to provide for those in need. As a church, the majority of our budget goes to the local ministry here at St. George's. It lets us do not only what you see on Sunday here, but also things like our pastoral care, our Bible studies, our witness to the community with things like playgroup and our Bureau Street Scripture and after school club. And I want to suggest that your primary responsibility when it comes to giving lies with St. George's. That's the church that you're part of. It's the community of faith in which you are fed and cared for. And financial giving is a vital, concrete way which you can contribute directly to our corporate life and mission. In fact, we can't do any of our ministries without your financial partnership. But as a church, we also give about 10% of our budget to a few different organisations, primarily to the Church Missionary Society, to CMS, to TIA, the Evangelical Alliance Relief Fund, and to Barnabas Fund. Our CMS giving goes to support Tim and Emma, who are about to head off to do church work in Southeast Asia, and we're going to be hearing more from them when they come to visit in March. And TIA and Barnabas Fund are Christian aid organisations where we give to support those in need. And over the year, we also periodically invite you to support those three organisations, CMS, TIA and Barnabas Fund. And one of the things that's on our agenda as parish council is to raise the profile of these groups in the church so that we can get to know more about them. But if you do have questions, come and have a chat with me. So our first responsibility is to give to the ministry of St. George's. But on top of that, there are a plethora of other different places to which you can direct your giving. Perhaps you could keep those two areas in mind, the work of the gospel and the support of the needy. You might want to pick one thing from each category. As a family, we support a Bible college in Nepal, and we have a sponsor child in Uganda with Compassion. But let me also suggest that in your budgeting, you set aside money for occasional crises. You know, that homeless man who turns up on your doorstep, or you know, a cyclone in the Philippines, or bushfire appeal, or something like that. Just so that you have a little bit extra to direct to crises that come your way. So much for where we should direct our giving. The big question, of course, that's on all your minds is how much? How much should you give? And I want to say the answer is very simple. As much as you want. Now, that may be a bit surprising, but come with me for a moment. See, in the Old Testament, the Israelites, as we read, were commanded to tithe. That is to give 10% of their income to the ministry of the Levites in the temple. But as Christians, we don't live under the law. We live under grace. And there is no command for us as to the percentage what percentage of our income we should give. So the short answer to how much is as much as you want. But the Apostle Paul does give us some advice as to how much in 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. First, he says that our giving is a response to the grace of God that he has shown us in Christ. And he actually puts that in financial terms. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9 reads, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for our sakes he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich." If the Lord Jesus himself gave up the riches of heaven in order that we might share those riches, then we too ought to be generous with the material blessings that we have received from his hand. And so Paul continues in chapter 9, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. And now, just as an aside, this text is not a divine formula for material prosperity. It's not as if you kind of sow generously, you give lots away, and God's going to give you even more money back. The reaping may be financial, but chances are it's not going to be. It might be more along the lines of treasure in heaven. Plus, the point, as you can see in this passage, is that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Now, that is, once again, whatever wealth you have is for good work. It's given to you not only for your own good, but for the service of others. So how much? As much as you want, but generously and cheerfully. C.S. Lewis, Oxford Don, Christian writer, has some helpful advice on the question of how much. In Mere Christianity, he writes, I can't do an English accent, so I'll just read it. I do not believe one can settle how much we ought to give. I'm afraid the only safe rule is to give more than we can spare. In other words, if our expenditure on comforts, luxuries, amusements, etc., is up to the standard common amongst those with the same income as our own, we are probably giving away too little. If our charities do not at all pinch or hamper us, I should say they are too small. There ought to be things we should like to do and cannot do because our charitable expenditure excludes them. How much? As much as you want. Generously and cheerfully, and let me also suggest, deliberately. You know, when you do a budget, don't get around to your giving as the last line item. Put it up there at the top. Have it as one of your essentials, you know, along with groceries, your car insurance, that sort of thing. And certainly before your luxuries, like eating out on holidays. Let's get very practical for a moment. How can you give? That's what this sheet is here for. There's some suggestions there. It's an invitation for you to give weekly, fortnightly, monthly, whatever you would like. And you can do that by cash in the plate, check, envelopes, if you want a little bit more anonymity, we have one for every week of the year. Or our preferred method is direct deposit, and the bank details of the church are there. They're also on our newsletter every week. Anyway, enough about that. As we finish up, let me just offer a few final thoughts for us to remember when it comes to giving. The first is that this can be a little bit scary. Giving generously, perhaps even sacrificially. But as we've read in the various different passages, God is in the business of supplying all that we need. We read it there in Philippians chapter 4, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. See, generous giving is actually a way that you can exercise your faith muscles, trusting that as you give, God will supply all your needs and more. The second thing to say is that many of you do give generously. And all I have to say is thank you. Thank you for your partnership in the gospel here at St. George's. As I've said, we couldn't do what we do without your generosity. Thank you too for people who in the past have contributed to our work here at St. George's. Every so often we get bequests from people, and particularly you might remember Henry Baldwin has given the church a significant bequest, and we're able to do lots of our ministry because of things like that, people giving in the present and also their contributions in terms of bequests. And I should also say that some of those have actually kind of been given with the express purpose not to be used on building, but to be used directly for the ministry of the gospel here at St. George's, with an expectation that they'll run out and others will step up to give in their place. So thank you for you who do give generously to the work at St. George's. But the final thing to say is, of course, that their financial giving is not the only way that you can contribute to the life and mission of St. George's. There are all sorts of different things and different ways that you can be involved in what we do. And many of you give of your time, your energy, your resources, your prayers. And I want to say thank you for all of that as well. It's all these things working together that make us as a body work. So keep on serving, and thank you for all your efforts amongst us. But this is a sermon on giving, and so as I finish, let me invite you to use this sheet, take it home, think and pray about it, and commit to sacrificial and generous financial partnership with St. George's. Make giving generously one of the ways that you contribute to our life and mission as a church. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you speak to us about the very practical things of life. But sometimes that can be a little bit hard to hear. And so we pray, Father, that you might make us increasingly aware of just how much you have blessed us with and just how much you have given us. Not only the material wealth that we enjoy, but even more, the incredible spiritual riches that you have given us in Christ Jesus, who left his throne in glory and became one of us, dying for the forgiveness of our sins and rising that we might have eternal life, so that we who are undeserving might be welcomed into your family. Father, help us to see just more and more how deep your generous love is to us. And Father, fire our hearts to respond that we might, as a church, increasingly be characterized by extravagant generosity. And we pray these things for Christ our Lord's sake. Amen.